Welcome back to the Car Cafe podcast, where we talk about a whole lot of nonsense regarding automotive-related news and events. And Mason.
I'm George.
And I'm, yeah. And welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for coming. Thanks for joining us once again. If you're listening every week, I don't know what episode we're on, but thanks for listening so consistently.
Yeah, we appreciate it. Thanks for being really one of our biggest fans.
Keeps the numbers up.
Yeah. You're very quiet. Get closer. There we go.
Yeah, so
I've got something I want to talk about. We'll just get, you want to get right into it?
Well, I was going to talk about our week since we haven't seen each other all week, but you know, like a good friend, but hey, we can just get right into it.
Let's just get right into it. No, we're only about
it's
business.
It's fine. I don't see you all the time, so we're just going to
So, the Chrysler Halcyon concept. Have you seen it?
I miss you too. The what?
The Chrysler Halcyon concept.
I think pull it up. I think I've seen something and I think I didn't like it.
What?
Chrysler?
H-A-L-C-Y-O-N? L-C?
Halcyon?
Halcyon. Man, who is ESL here? Me or you?
Who's that? What?
ESL? English as a second language? Come on, man.
Come on. Yeah, what kind of Aston Martin, Vulcan, NSX type?
All three of the cars you just mentioned were compliments. Listen, obviously it's a concept, and a lot of the technology that they revealed for this is... I'm sorry, but it's definitely not happening. Okay? Like, they're just like, oh, you can unlock the car door with your face.
What if the
facial
snows?
Recognition and biometrics.
What if the camera's frosty?
No, but then you can, like, tap or use your fingerprint. I don't know.
Fingerprint would be very cool.
And it also has an augmented reality.
But wait, why would we need fingerprint if the key's on you?
Man, I don't know. They just come up with things. And also, augmented reality windshield, that was another... That's a good idea. I feel like that's gonna blow up later.
Oh, sure, yeah.
I'm telling you.
If we have augmented glasses, why not just make the windshield? As long as it doesn't obstruct your vision while you're driving, right?
I don't believe it will. I'm sure whoever does it first and unmasked will actually be able to pull it off. The other thing feature that it has is just like, oh, thanks to... This is obviously not happening. I think it was like, what? Thanks to, like, being able to use the friction of the air on the body as an energy recovery system, you can drive from coast to coast on one charge. I'm like, no, you can't. I'm sorry, that's not happening. This is the thing that I would really...
I wouldn't trust that kind of technology from Chrysler. That's
definitely
for sure.
Not, but this is the thing I would really love to be wrong about. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I'm sorry, nobody has made a claim that ridiculous. If you're going to do that, you better be able to back it up.
Sorry, can you explain it once more?
I from what I understood, I could be completely wrong because it was a while since I watched the video, but it was just like, oh, the friction of the air on the body, because that's how aerodynamics works. It's like anytime you get air moving along an object, there's friction.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like, oh, there's somehow in the paint or in the body, it uses like pixie dust to collect.
What they're trying to say is when you're driving, a pinwheel comes up and charges, it spins from the wind and it charges the batteries.
Yeah.
See, how could that? Here's the two things that I believe in currently. And we talked about the solar panels in the last episode, which I believe
enough,
in.
Though. Yeah.
I believe that will eventually give us more than 6 kilometers of range per year.
Maybe even 10.
Maybe even 10.
Wow.
Maybe even it'll charge car to 3% just sitting in the parking lot. But that and regenerative braking are the two things that I think we're kind of at.
Regen's doing good.
Regen's doing good, and I think we're kind of at, like, I wouldn't say the peak, because we're never at the peak of anything. But I think we're at the point where we can't really expect too much more for regeneration of.
Here's what I'm thinking battery. Is going on. But obviously, because we all know that EVs are... This is turning into an EV podcast, if you know what I mean.
Oh, God.
Like, here's what's going on with EVs. You remember when, like, the iPhone first came out?
Do I?
Exactly,
I was, like, 4.
So it's... You remember the incremental differences in iPhones since that came out? They were huge. You know what I mean? Like, you would really want the next iPhone because it really had something that the one previously didn't have. It was just like, oh, it didn't have biometrics, and then the 5S came out with like the fingerprint scanner. And then later on, you had like the haptic feedback, and then later on, you had like way bigger screens, and I think Samsung, they got the curved screen.
Yeah.
And then eventually like a flip phone or something like that. But now nowadays, like I got quite ahead, like through generations pretty quickly, but I think what's happening is that with iPhone, like with phones in general right now, the difference year to year is not that big.
Not anymore. I would.
It's kind of plateaued a little bit.
Yes.
So, but
that peaked,
has not happened with EVs yet. We're still in the come up.
Well,
if you look at EVs from 10 years ago, really bad compared to the EVs that are coming out right now. EVs
10 years ago were, you know, that they were like.
I remember 2014.
One.
So there's like
there were maybe like 7 EVs just hanging, not even, that might even be a bit much.
But even the successors to those EVs.
What was even around
I don't
for
know,
EVs, like, except maybe Tesla.
Okay, then even 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Still. You know what I mean?
Well, that's not a long time. I mean, like, to be fair, in the day and age we're in now, technology moves so fast and everything.
And right now,
so
battery.
They should be moving fast.
Right now, battery technology is taking off.
Yeah.
So, look.
But cars as a whole, think of how long it's taken to get to where even we were 10 years ago for automobiles, right?
Yeah.
Just for the reliability and the materials are like
and technology.
How many cars were made
too.
Out of aluminum before 15 years ago, right?
Not a lot, yeah.
And now people are like, oh, actually, aluminum is actually a pretty light and strong
yeah.
material to use for a car. Who would have thunk? Yeah, who would have thunk?
So
you could save
like,
20 miles an hour,
yeah.
20 miles per gallon.
So it's like that. I believe that things like this will happen in the future. I just don't know when.
Yeah, I won't make any predictions, but
a lot of car companies are like reinvesting in combustion engines. Have
yeah,
you seen?
Let's talk
have
about.
Have you seen Toyota's hydrogen combustion engine?
I think I've glimpsed it. Yeah,
it sounds just like a regular engine.
Hmm.
And it vibrates like one too.
Oh,
the
God.
Test driver came. The test driver came out and said, "Like,
do I have the right car?"
they put it. They put it in. I think the GR Corolla.
Oh yeah.
And the test driver, it was a Toyota test driver, was just like, "It feels the same."
Interesting.
So I'm like, if.
But it's more economical, right?
It's more economical. It's way cleaner.
Yeah. More. Well, that's kind of what I meant.
The efficiency is not there yet.
No.
Like if you're going to do so, there are two different processes you can undertake with, you know, turning hydrogen into propulsion.
Mm-hmm.
One of them is that you've heard the hydrogen fuel cell.
Sure.
Where you have like a compressed tank, there's hydrogen in it, and then they use electrolysis to basically move electrons around. I'm not going to get too into the details. They move some electrons around and it turns into electricity that drives an electric motor.
Mm-hmm.
There's also the hydrogen combustion engine, which is quite self-explanatory. They blow it up. But it's like the thing about hydrogen, it needs to be stored in a very specific manner, usually quite cold, if I remember correctly. So it's like, I think, to be honest with you, and this might go against what a lot of people might believe, I have a feeling combustion engines will live on a lot longer than we think.
Well, no doubt. If you compare the process of building an engine to the process of mining a battery.
Yeah, batteries are not as sustainable as one may
think. Yeah, I mean, like, what are we going to run out of first?
It's more along the lines of the fact
or
that the
steel.
That EV technology is just not there yet. The internal combustion is so well established.
One day it'll be there, I'm sure, you know, don't know when. Maybe 2040 we'll have 1,000-kilometer range EVs.
Yeah.
But where it is right now, it's not. Is good for such a small amount of people.
And the cost.
Well, not the 900,000 people who buy Teslas. Apparently, it's great for them.
And the cost is also a big factor.
The cost and just the reliability is fine, but
it kind of seems all over the place sometimes.
It's such a niche of people that need or can use EVs, right? For charging, you know, overnight, basically. So we're going to get into hybrids now. Let's talk about GM releasing a little statement tea, a little statement poo that said, remember 3 years ago when we said EVs by 2030?
Yeah,
We're going to do hybrids by
let's do
2030.
hybrids, yeah. Which I'm excited for.
Yes, I cannot wait until I see a Silverado hybrid.
They make one of my favorite hybrids already.
The Volt.
The E-Ray.
Oh, yeah, for sure,
Yeah,
yeah.
right.
That's great. That's a
Great way to
perfect,
start.
perfect platform. Is to, I mean, like, it's not like it's not been done before, right? McLaren P1.
Yeah, McLaren P1, Ferrari LaFerrari, Porsche 918
Yeah,
Spyder.
you know,
Lamborghini
just all these, which,
Revuelto.
yeah, the list could go on possibly, but
It does.
so I'm glad GM took that turn. You know, that there was a lot of like. A lot of fanboys who thought they were big, they're like, oh, why isn't it just a V8? Well, you know how fast this thing goes? You know how efficient it is?
Yeah, but you can't go wrong with a good old American V8.
Yeah,
They're still gonna make great
but man,
motors like that. They're still doing that.
there's like, what do you want more? Is like extreme power, or do you just want sound? I'm okay with more power than sound, honestly.
I guess it depends on the person.
Yeah.
I would love to have a car with a big honking V8 that's like 6 liters and only makes
Yes,
5 horsepower and has two
I would.
gears.
So sometimes I do wish I had
Like a lot of the cars that are in
a
here, actually.
grumbly car, you know,
Like, I think
something to
that
just
Cadillac, what's in
hear.
that?
But
That's a V8. That's a
oh,
V8.
it's probably like a seven
That
liter
Chevelle is a
V8
V8.
in
That
the Cadillac.
Corvette, I know, is a V8.
Actually, it's
That's
probably like
is
a
stupid.
GM and hybrid.
Yeah, so,
Everybody knew it. When they said EVs by 2035 or whatever it was they said, they're like, that's dumb.
was mostly
It'll
because
never
of
happen.
governments. That's just a reaction to governments who are like, oh, yeah, we're going
Government
to.
regulations,
They
they're
don't know what
like,
they're doing. They don't know what
let's
they're talking
just
about.
push it fast, let's go in and hard, and they jumped the gun. Everybody knew it. They jumped the gun when they said EVs in
Yeah,
10
well, you can
years.
never count on the government to do anything correctly.
So
So.
I'm glad to see they're every not just GM, everyone's kind of seeing
Sort of.
sort of. But everyone's mostly seeing
They're understanding
the
now.
perks of a hybrid over just an internal combustion engine and just an electric vehicle.
Yeah,
It's
I wrote
literally,
some reports
I
about
think
it.
it's the
Yeah.
best drivetrain you can have personally.
Yeah.
Over anything, over diesel,
No, I can totally see where you're
over
coming from.
hydrogen, I hybrid is just the way to go.
No,
Well, maybe not hydrogen.
No,
Once hydrogen gets into its
I
better
can see where
state,
you're coming from. Yeah, hydrogen still needs to be figured out because that's
propane is a good thing to get into as well, actually.
I would love, can I go on a bit of a tangent here? I would really love a nuclear powered car. Now, hang on. Before
So the next thing I have in my notes here
listen,
is,
listen, Ford did it before, you know? The Ford Nucleon in the 60s.
oh, in the 60s,
Which
huh?
is a weird time to do it.
You know, a lot of people just had radiation just floating around their houses for fun
No, man, if you,
in the
man, if
60s.
somebody can develop, I think the next eco car should be like the next eco car project that I'm on. If we could get a nuclear powered like Corvette, oh my God. Dude, like think about it. Your grandkids won't need to refuel. Your great grandkids, their great grandkids won't need to refuel.
They also can't procreate, but you know. It's fine. Radiation,
I'm sure
it's
in the
all
future they'll
good.
find a way to do it without, like.
You know, just put a Faraday cage around
No,
it.
that's exactly it. See,
That'll
you
keep
solved
it
the
out.
problem. What it,
Oh, did
like.
I? Yeah. Oh,
Listen, a
jeez.
nuclear powered car would be awesome.
Yeah.
Submarines are nuclear powered. I don't see what we can do with cars.
Do they even build submarines anymore? What good
I
is a
don't know if we're
submarine?
supposed to know
Oh.
that. We should start a hotel, like a submarine hotel. Like a cruise, but
What are you talking
underwater.
about? Oh, you're so.
The submarine cafe.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, no, that's been done before. You know what I'm talking about?
No, I don't.
Remember the Titan submarine? Yeah,
Oh,
no, I'm like, maybe we
no, I don't
shouldn't
get
do
it.
that. I
I don't
forgot
get
about
it.
it. Can you believe that was last year?
Was it?
It was. I think
Wow.
that's how we started off 2023.
No.
Was it not?
No,
I thought this has nothing to do
that
with
was
cars.
late
What?
2023.
Hang
Get
on.
out of here.
Titan.
That was like October, wasn't it?
Titan submarine. Submersible, sorry. It wasn't a submarine. That was in June.
June. Time moves so fast.
Yeah, 18th of June.
Wow. I got a question for you.
Sure.
To move this junk along.
Yeah. Speaking of junk, so the Titan submersible. No, I'm kidding. Keep going.
I don't even have an answer for this, but, well, I did when I wrote these notes 6 weeks ago.
Okay.
Which brand, in your opinion, or knowledgeable expertise, is underperforming, but should be overperforming?
Underperforming, but should be overperforming?
Which brand out there?
How do you define overperforming?
Sorry, well, think about it, and I'll rephrase it for you. Which brand is underperforming, but shouldn't be, because they should know better?
I feel like,
for example,
yeah,
Chrysler or Dodge as
okay,
a whole.
But here's
they're,
the thing.
They're underperforming, and well, let me just example it.
Okay, yeah.
They're underperforming for reasons. They have reasons, but they could be on the same level as somebody else.
Yeah, like but GM I think the problem with that is that obviously when you're shifting business strategies, that takes time.
Mm-hmm.
And that seems to be the transition that they're under right now.
But what other brand is, you just look at them and you're like, what are you doing right now?
You want to know, actually?
Is it BMW?
No, you want to know something? BMW is, honestly, they've been doing a great job. Despite their cars looking just a little bit strange, they seem to top the charts everywhere. They're still doing a good job, I'll be honest with you.
It's their fanboys.
It's their fanboys. No, like, but their engines are still fantastic.
Sure, yeah. They're still using the inline six, aren't they?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're still using the inline six. Their cars are, like, it's been climbing the reliability reports consistently these last few years.
Bit by bit.
But no, but they're doing really good. So that's like, you can't take points off for that.
Mm-hmm.
It's great. I think the brand that actually I Volkswagen. Let me tell you why.
Is it no longer the people's car?
I feel like it's betraying the people. Here's the thing. I love my Golf. I really think
so
that,
do I. I think it's a great little car.
I think that the GTI and the R can be left out of this conversation right now, because those two cars are like,
okay,
they're very different.
So what's the rest of their lineup?
They the rest of their lineup is the Atlas, the Tiguan, the Taos, and the Jetta, kind of.
Yeah. They don't have the Passat anymore, do they?
No.
Okay.
That's the thing, though. You know what I mean?
Why? A big German sedan should be around.
Right.
But was it selling?
No, that's the thing. It's just like, I feel, but right now in today's market, I feel like it might do well. Here's the thing. Volkswagen is right now shifting towards a lot of EVs. Their ID4 is not a horrible car. For their first go at an EV, I drove it like a week ago, for a brand's first go at an EV, and I've had a lot of experience with EVs, it's really good. It drives really, really well.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really not the biggest fan of its interior, but I think it drives really good.
Is there any
good
interiors that are just like in your face?
And it's really comfy.
Today?
It's a very comfy car, and it drives perfectly fine.
Mm-hmm.
And they're coming out with the ID7, which is like an electric Passat.
Right.
And initial reviews coming from Europe are really good. But the thing is that let's say that their biggest sellers right now are the Jetta, the Taos, and the Tiguan.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of Atlases on the road, but those three make up a good chunk of their volume. Those are all made in Mexico, man. Why?
A lot of cars are.
No, I know, but like all of them... My Golf's made in Germany, and the Atlas is made in the U.S. I like the Atlas. It's good.
I mean, well, did Ford move to Mexico yet?
I think the Maverick is made in Mexico.
Yeah. Well, yeah,
I think. True. I don't know. Wait, let me check that. I feel like this I need to be...
I mean, like, I personally don't have a problem with it. You know, a lot of people in Mexico want to work. So it's not like they're like shying away from working in the factory. Quality is no different than what it would be if it was made in America, which
yeah, it is in Mexico.
As far as I've seen, a lot of American-made cars are no more well-built than than anywhere else.
Shout out my Chrysler. Yeah. American made.
Shout out every other car I've driven.
It's garbage. Really. I guess it depends on the brand and their practices.
It really depends on quality control. It depends on, you know,
but then again,
the factory manager, all that kind of stuff.
But then again, remember the Taos and the Jetta? Those were both in the bottom 10.
Yeah, but
the Taos, to be honest with you, it's a new platform. You
have to ask yourself, is that because of where it's made or how it's designed?
I don't know. I just it just happens to be a funny coincidence.
The funny coincidence is that a Volkswagen is unreliable and expensive to maintain. Right? That's the funny coincidence.
That is the funny coincidence. I'm not looking forward to it.
So so you kind of have to be like, what is Volkswagen doing on their engineering end to cause these skyrocketing repairs? Or
I think it's the cost cutting. For example, you know how my entire interior is capacitive? That saves them money.
Like how your temperature controls don't light up when you touch them?
You see what I mean? I want to talk about this for just a brief second.
Can you take a picture of that so we can put it up here? Volume control and your temperature controls do not light up.
Listen to me.
So nobody knows what they're doing.
No, okay, hold on.
Except
the,
you, but
the steering wheel is illuminated, so I can change the volume on the steering wheel, but I think my muscle memory has actually developed quite well to the point where I could just, even at night.
Sure, yeah.
The only problem is
for new people, new passengers, right?
Exactly.
Which is,
other than that, just hit the climate button and change it on the screen.
Realistically, are we to complain about, I complained about
the Fisker
being confusing in the last episode. Is that like are we mad at them? Should we be mad that is confusing? Or should we say, it's your first time using it, you'll get used to it, and then it'll be nothing.
The way people are frustrated with that is because that never used to be a thing.
True. It was a radio, you had the physical knobs.
Exactly. You'd get into a new car and you'd be able to
look at it
and go, that's what that button's for.
Yeah.
And that was it.
It was all designed. It wasn't designed the same, but it was like, they all had the radio.
It was the same buttons in a different spot.
Yeah.
It was just that was
or in a different orientation. It was like,
that was the whole thing. But now it's just like, you have to learn a new operating system.
And you got to learn your dashboard.
You got to get like a computer science degree.
You got to learn your gauges. You know, you got to.
You have to get a master's in software engineering to start.
You
got to
learn how to set your memory seats, which is hard enough to do.
Yeah.
These days.
So I don't know. What do you think? What brand do you think is underperforming, but should be overperforming?
Well, Dodge would be one of them.
Dodge dug themselves that grave.
Oh, I know.
I'm sorry.
I don't particularly...
You see Ford continuing to make the Mustang, and you're going to cancel the Challenger and the Charger at the same time? And bring them back as EVs? Shut up.
Yeah, what?
It was stupid. Dumb decision.
See, what they did was what GM did a few years ago, was they're like, let's hop into the EV game. All Dodge. GM was playing catch-up to Tesla, and now Dodge is playing catch up to GM is really what's happening.
I think the better move would have been like, we should just introduce the electric variant while the combustion variant is still out, and then slowly phase that out. If I were in the shoes of CEO, that's what I would have done.
Yeah, well, you also got to think of the shareholders, who make most of the decisions.
That
right?
is true, yeah. No, you make a good point.
If it was only the CEO, that company would probably
idea, though. I'm sure someone did, honestly. They're like, we should probably keep the Challenger for a little bit longer. They're like, nope.
Yeah.
We're not doing that. But, and then Mustang comes out with a dark horse, and then we're like,
Yeah, but hey.
That's a cool car.
Camaro was canceled, right?
Yeah.
So.
I never liked the Camaro, to be honest with you. I liked the older ones. I just didn't.
It was
I didn't like the outgoing
sports
model.
Sports car.
We have one in my lab, that generation.
Yeah.
And sometimes I sit in it to like take phone calls. I can't.
Going to Bluetooth. You're like, yep.
No.
To you on my Camaro.
It's not.
RS.
It's not Bluetooth. There's actually no engine, no battery, no nothing. It's just shell. Like, I sit in it and I close the door. I take phone calls and
so quiet in there. GM quiet tuning. You know.
It's pretty good. And then you can't see out of it.
Yeah, I remember driving
the visibility in it is horrible
in the dealership days. And That wasn't a car I was. I actually wasn't looking forward to driving them after the first two times I did.
Yeah, right. Like,
especially.
What's up with that?
Remember I don't remember what generation it is, but the Transformers generation?
Mm.
When Transformers came out, they released that new
I liked that
generation.
One.
The interiors aren't that great. They're extremely hard to stay out of. The steering is so heavy in those cars. The manual is just hard to master. The newer ones I actually enjoyed more just because GM kind of refined the interior. Things felt a lot more...
I still didn't like the interior.
...sturdy than it did.
The way that the screen looked and the knob right under.
Yeah.
That control unit was out of a Malibu. Like, it's the same buttons.
Yeah, I mean, that's... So...
The Corvette... You can see more out of the Corvette. Like...
Oh, yeah, true.
The windshield's bigger and it's just way less...
We don't have to go into how great the Corvette is, honestly. It's
fantastic.
Everybody knows.
Fantastic car. So good.
I feel like Buick is underperforming, you know that?
That's your guess?
I hate to see where they are, because I feel like...
Their marketing campaign has actually agrees with you. Because you remember that marketing campaign where they had where I think they started to
Is it
to
the
come,
one where they're like, that's not that's a Buick?
Is that a Buick?
It was
no, that's exactly
people.
It. That,
that was a good campaign because that was showing like...
That shows what they want. That
yeah.
They want to move out
but
of that image. They didn't work.
Much like Cadillac,
mm-hmm.
tried to appease to the younger generation too late into the game.
It worked for Cadillac, though.
It worked for Cadillac because they had performance models that were really, really sporty. They were really good cars. Buick also had performance models. You know, they had the... Buick had the...
Envision. The Encore. It had, like, red trim on it.
Encore? No. The Encore was the Trax. The...
No.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Old Trax, though.
But I know what you're talking about. The sorry, I'm losing it.
The Encore, I'm pretty sure.
No. There was a different one that was like really sporty. I'm losing. It's not the Verano. It's the... Okay, skipping that thought. But back in like the early 2000s, 90s, they had like their supercharged models.
The Regal. Then the Grand National.
The Regal.
The Grand National was...
No, the Grand National was earlier.
The GNX?
That was like 80s, but...
I want
I'm
one of those things
like,
so bad. They're selling on AutoTrader for like $80,000.
Oh, yeah. But if you find a good example, you're in the six figures. But...
It's ridiculous.
I'm talking like the 90s, like Park Avenue was supercharged. The LeSabre wasn't supercharged, but it did have... It was
and a big honking V8 anyways. I think.
I think it had just the V6, but it was incredibly reliable. Mm. But like all through that time, they were trying to be young and hip with these fast, powerful cars.
Didn't really work.
And it just didn't work because they still had the image. They still had wood trim in those cars.
Mm.
Right? What was the one that our auto teacher had? that
Pontiac?
Yeah.
Bonneville?
The Bonneville, same.
Yeah.
That was kind of the era where they were putting like supercharger V8s.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
The Impala, too.
Yeah.
On those Panther bodies.
That was cool.
Panther bodies?
I liked them.
Was it? Or, no, what was that, Ford?
It was the one after. I don't remember.
Frick. We are so bad at this.
We are. We suck at podcasts.
Don't listen to us. Nah, listen to us. We have good quality work.
Don't touch that remote.
No, but you know what I mean is that Buick was like later to the game than Cadillac, and where they are now is really nice, but
they're just not where they want
to
be yet.
You just don't see people running to Buicks.
No, because that's like, I'm sorry, when I went to go out and buy a car, I didn't want to tell people. They're like, oh, you got a new car, what'd you get? A Buick.
It's what's behind the name, right?
Exactly. That,
and it
look, every name carries weight.
Yes, and if I had to choose like a big family SUV, the Enclave, beautiful car.
Kind of says a lot that you don't know the model names.
What
kinda,
was
that? It's a kind of a point to be made that you don't remember the model names all that much.
Most
people don't.
No, I know all the model names of GM. I'm just cold. I'm just tired.
All I'm hearing from this side of the studio are excuses.
They're good excuses. What I'm saying is that I would love to buy an Enclave. because I think it's
they're nice. My dad almost bought one.
Beautiful, beautiful.
They're so good. They're really good.
I can't talk Haley into one because she doesn't want a Buick. She wants a Mazda, which also looks amazing.
Well, okay,
but
well, hold
Mazda
on,
but has a sporty.
Are we trying to talk her into a Buick or an Enclave?
A Buick Enclave.
She's one person.
Well, when kids come along, you'll need an SUV.
Oh, yeah?
Is
what and you're going to have stupid little dirty throw-up-y diaper poopy kids in an Enclave?
What else would I put them in?
A Chevy.
Why not? What do you mean?
The Buick when they can learn to control themselves.
Traverse?
No, just to let... Well, yeah, that's what my uncle did.
Why wouldn't I just
he get has a Traverse and an XC90.
The Buick is nicer for the driver.
Yeah, but then you're going to feel bad when your kids yak all over your nice leather seats. It's going to
happen.
Yeah,
but it's not my car, see? It's the family car. They're not
you're
allowed
really
in
gonna,
my
you're
car.
No, listen. What I'm hearing is cope. I think you'd be upset. I know you.
No, obviously.
It's a guy who owns a detailing business, and you're just
I'm
like,
just saying,
it'd be okay if they yacked all over the back seats, not my car.
Saying is that I would love to get into one, but is the image that other, just like you said, if you came home and everyone's like, oh, what'd you buy? And you're like, a Buick.
You're going to have some explaining to do.
Yeah, you're going to be like, just go outside and look. And everyone's like, oh, no, I don't really feel like it. You're like, no, just come along. It's got a sport mode. It's like really fast. And they're like, you know, maybe tomorrow, George.
Yeah, but you tell people.
But it's so hard to convince people that it's actually a really good car.
It is a good car. No, I completely agree. But it's like,
they're just 10 years too late to the design that they're in.
Yeah.
You know, even like 5 years ago when they were still like into the baby Encore, they were still making them for old people.
Yeah. I love.
I don't want them to turn into Pontiac is what I'm saying.
Well, you don't want to
Pontiac
see them...
had a good thing going and then, you know, they just
yeah,
lost
then they made
sales.
The Aztec.
Well, that was like 2008.
And then they made the Aztec.
The Aztec is a nice car. You know what's interesting is that lately I've been looking. No, stop.
Okay.
Lately I've been
You're
on the Instagrams
me,
and the likeness of Pontiac Aztecs have gone from here, which is at the top when it first launched, down to here, which was immediately after it launched, plateaued for about 15 years, and now it's back up to here.
It just isn't, though.
No, it is.
It just isn't.
No, but it is.
But no, it isn't.
But
yes. How? No, it isn't.
Because, for one, it actually doesn't look... You can't actually find a reason to tell me why it looks bad.
Don't make this the last episode of the podcast.
Why does it look bad to you?
Have you seen the thing?
In real... I've driven one, yeah. Great car.
I'm going
to
ask...
You have to give me an actual
I'm gonna
reason
this again.
As
I'm gonna
to
ask
why,
this again.
As to why
I'm
going to
ask this again. Have you seen it?
You need to give me an actual
Do you
reason.
Remember last episode how we complained that a good chunk of the Solterra was made out of plastic?
Sure.
We don't like plastic on this podcast, do we?
Well, who does? But that's on most of the cars there is, right? That's on all the cars there is.
Okay, but I'm talking about like black, scritchy, scratchy, this table kind of plastic on the outside.
Yeah.
90% of that car was made out of that junk.
But that's not why people claimed it was ugly.
Then a split hatch. Which was never a good design at the time.
Well,
nobody could do it properly.
Well, that's like saying my tailgate isn't a good design
and then
it
had
because
that
it splits
stupid,
two ways.
That stupid
which is
headlight
actually...
design that the Nissan Juke has. It's the exact same. Don't even.
See.
Shut up.
A lot of cars have that as well. They have headlights on the bottom, turn signals on the hood.
But none of them look good. Have you seen the new 7 Series? They can't do it right. The only car I've seen that
I
does that correctly
say...
is any Cadillac these days. The Lyric.
I would
that looks good.
The Blazer looks good.
No,
the Cherokee
GM
kind of looks okay.
It's
got that headlight on the bottom, turn signal on the top.
Yeah, that's fine. I'm just saying.
Oh,
that
so what's going on here?
No.
The new
listen.
Cherokee is literally an Aztec Jeepified.
What are you talking about?
It's got plastic. It's got headlights on the bottom.
No, but that's it. Oh my god.
So what am I missing here?
The Pontiac Aztec was an ugly car. It was an ugly car, and it had those stupid grills. It had the regular Pontiac one, which is fine, but then it had those two little ones up there. Why'd they do that?
Oh, it was a poor choice.
And it had
at
such
time.
A stupid shape.
No, that's a pretty common shape. Come on.
I'm sorry. No, it ended too abruptly. No, that's the only car I've ever seen.
I'm going to find photos that the Aztek actually resembles how many other SUVs it looks like.
That's the only car I've seen other than the Ford Flex and the Rivian R1S that has that many 90-degree angles at the back.
Ford Flex. The Rivian what?
The Rivian's very boxy. The Pontiac Aztek starts off looking like an actual car, and then it ends. Get a picture of it here and see. Tell me that looks good.
Get a side profile, but also, I
disagree with you.
Look at like any other SUV, and it'll look exactly the same.
No, I disrespectfully disagree with you.
did you say disrespectfully?
Yes.
See, what you've done is you've bought into the hype of it being
And you're being a hipster.
Yes, but
that's me, you freaking nerd.
But nobody like actually appreciates the car for what it is, which is my point, is that
it was a very utilitarian, very like, I liked the interior because it had cubbies everywhere.
It had cubbies, it had
and
a tent.
You could turn it into a tent.
I don't understand your
You know what car I'd rather buy that does the exact same thing? The Honda Element. That little box. I'd rather get that. The Pontiac Aztek is stupid. It's a stupid car for meth heads.
But you like the Element, which has low headlights, plastic cladding.
I said I'd rather buy that.
I don't understand why, though.
Because
the Element's so small. Because
it's a Honda. It's not as ugly as that stupid thing you call a good car.
It is a good...
Hostile.
It is a good car, though. There was nothing wrong with it.
It was ugly. No, there was nothing wrong with it other than the fact that it was a complete eyesore and made everybody want to gouge their eyeballs out every time they saw one. I'm so glad there are none on the road these days.
Well, there's actually quite a few.
Well, I probably don't notice them.
Well, probably because there's not many on the road. they just weren't sold that well. What were their sales numbers even? They're probably less than...
They did not sell much.
Less than 100,000, I'm sure.
Oh my god, no.
Less than 50,000, I'm sure.
We're going to talk after this, because the future of this podcast is now at stake.
Oh my god, you're so...
You're
extra
petty.
For no reason. I'm petty? You just shot me down for the Aztek.
No, because your opinion is wrong. There are two opinions in this world, mine and the wrong one. Shut up. Look at me like that.
I can't wait to see the reviews on this podcast. There's going to be a lot of people who appreciate that car for what it was and what people didn't see it for.
Make your own podcast.
What was the issue about the split tailgate?
It's just ugly. It looks bad.
It looks like you don't even know it's a split tailgate when it's closed.
It goes, Like the design, there's two windows.
Well, guess who copied that design?
The Prius.
Tesla.
What?
The Cybertruck. It goes, I mean, like, the rear of the Cybertruck is just straight line
down. And the Cybertruck's not a pretty car either.
No, but I'm just saying that it's not
You're not
like,
making a case for yourself here, Mason.
No, I am. I'm just saying that it's not anything to shy away at when there's worst examples on the road. I think they definitely could have done... I don't know why they didn't make it just like... They just did their GM thing and just make an Envoy and put a Pontiac badge on it.
Yeah, the GM was they were a big up badging company back. They still are, I feel. They still do some up badging. Everyone does, but it's
Silverado
like,
Sierra, exact same truck. Best-selling truck on the road. I stand by that.
Sure.
It is.
I don't remember what the actual numbers are.
Oh, this is like 800,000 combined or something. I don't know.
Ford
is like 700,000. I don't know. It outsells Ford. That's all I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
That's all that matters. Dodge is, you know, they're at 50,000 sales a decade. I don't know what the numbers
are,
but it's pretty bad.
But I feel like they deserve more. Those Rams are kind of nice. Like the new ones?
Yeah, the refresh are actually very well designed on the interior. They're very luxury, modern. I would take it over...
And they're super comfy.
I would take it over my truck, honestly.
I'd take it over an F-150
And they're especially comfy because of their coilovers, but...
Mm-hmm.
There's just a whole host of reasons why I wouldn't have one. Coilovers. For utilitarian, you can't... The Leafs are better.
Yeah.
The engine, don't want a Hemi tick, don't want a blown transmission at 5K. Not even.
That's fair.
Don't want my electronics bugging out because it's a Dodge and they don't
that does
do
happen
things
to
electronically for some. Okay, can I ask you something? Actually, let's move on from us being negative, for God's sake.
Being negative, you're the one being negative.
Guy just shot me down for the last 20 minutes about the Aztec.
No, you're the one having bad opinion. Anyways, keep going.
Oh my God. Let's talk about engineering.
We have like 10 minutes.
I got a 10-minute question for you.
Sure.
Why are manufacturers not hiring... I'll start off like this. Why are the UI systems in cars so bad? And why is it so hard to get a smooth running infotainment, easy to navigate, all this and that? Why is it so hard to have that in a brand new car for $50,000, but your $500 phone runs seamlessly and it's got more features in it? I understand that most manufacturers have their own team for that.
Yeah.
They don't hire like the engineers from Samsung to like design their infotainment.
No, usually.
But why
no.
don't they? What's the reason? Apart from cost, maybe. Maybe.
I think. Okay, I'm going to speak to this as someone who is purely a researcher and not actually an engineer for a company. So whatever I'm about to say, take with a grain of salt, but I believe...
Downvote them for everyone and the wrong opinions.
Listen, all I'm going to say is what I believe to be true, just with my own thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Infotainment systems, first of all, have to communicate with the car.
Okay.
And just about everything in it. Every single signal has to go through the infotainment system in one way or another, whether or not you even see it.
Right.
Or whether or not it even does anything.
It's even a feature like...
So you can't actually outsource those signals at all. Those are all like EDA's secrets, those signals.
Okay.
And I work with them like we can't.
So you mean like they have to stay within...
It has to stay in-house.
Like you can't just hire outside computer engineers, call it. Because they're working for another company at the same time.
That's my understanding of it. It's just like but those things can't leave the brand.
But why aren't they getting engineers from Apple? Let's say who makes, you know, let's be honest, the smoothest operating system.
It's well optimized.
Why can't they get someone from there, find someone, offer them a job? And make a good system for GM that isn't laggy and, you know, navigates smoothly.
I feel like a lot of it
crash.
I feel like a lot of it is hardware based rather than software.
So that leads me to another question.
Yeah.
Why is my phone this thin? And then the infotainment screens have to be like box TV size, you know, overheating because they're inside a dash. Presumably, they're overheating that thermal throttling.
Yeah.
Is what I imagine is happening. But why aren't they finding a workaround? If infotainment systems are such a big part, why are we still having slow software?
I think it's because they're doing so much more than what you can see on a surface level.
Compared to like a phone even.
Yeah.
Like if I have 9 tabs open on my
phone.
Well,
okay, let's think about what it has to do. Firstly, we'll get the things that it has
TPMS.
To hold on. We'll get the things that like it can do
AM radio
the same as a phone.
Okay.
Firstly, it has to communicate with satellites most of the time. You have your OnStar, you have your support and your Volkswagen infos, things like that. So it has to communicate and it has to keep a constant line. It's always checking for updates. It's reading everything that's going on with the car. It's reading GPS. It's controlling the sat nav. It's controlling the climate control. It's controlling the driver monitoring system. It's controlling your speed. It could be controlling all of your sensors, and it's gathering
like
data from the camera.
And
it's gathering
all that, right?
Huh?
Headlights and blind spots.
Headlights and blind spots. It's
rain
also controlling the rest of rain sensors, automatic windshield wipers, automatic headlights.
So,
it's doing so
quickly,
much. It's an active organism that is thinking all of the time.
How is that all separated between the infotainment and the ECU?
That's a good question. So, our Cadillac LYRIQ, for example, is completely taken apart right now. There are modules everywhere in that car. It's not just at the front, it's not just at the back. There are computers in the C pillar.
Oh.
It's ridiculous.
For like the airbags and the seat belts
Or like
just because they had nowhere else to put them.
It's like gathering data from like the rear sensors. No more space
under the seat, let's put in the pillar.
No, it's gathering data. They're computers. They're grabbing anything from everywhere. And it's like that all that data needs to be consolidated somewhere, and usually where that data is presented to the driver is through the infotainment system.
Right.
So all of that data that's being sent out has to, and from what I understand, needs to be sent there anyways. Because you can toggle things on and off, and you have all your settings, and you can say like, oh, turn lane and keep off, and then it has to tell that to those computers that like, hey.
Right. But when it's turned on, then it's like constantly monitoring, right?
It's
Which is just
always,
taking,
which is always taking up
is
bandwidth.
there like a hardware issue? Like, I've never taken apart an infotainment. We should take apart an infotainment system someday and see what they're running. 'Cause is it like an Intel Celeron in there?
I don't
Like,
know. It's probably some
or are they not
proprietary.
running i9s? Are they just using slower components?
Well, the other thing too, actually, you mentioned was thermals.
Which
Like
I
you're,
believe plays a big part of it, because
it does.
sometimes,
It definitely
when you
does.
start your car, it's like running fine, and then like down the road, you feel the screen is like burning your hand, and then it slowed down.
This might just be a you problem.
I'm talking
My Volkswagen
like
has been running at
anything.
60 FPS 4K like the whole
Well,
time.
see, but why? I'll admit the screen in my truck isn't that great. It's the base model screen. It's not the top of the line, whatever, but. Like, why is it just run? I feel like if it was in phone form, it would be like $200. If it was in phone, like if they gave that screen to me as a phone and they're like, here's all your apps and stuff, it would be god awful to use. It would be like, it would have like one, it probably has like 1 gig of RAM in there, if I had to guess.
I don't know the specs
Like,
actually. I gotta figure that out. I should look that up for the
I don't
lyric.
know, but like, I feel like we have to look into that and like see. I feel like manufacturers just need to get it together and hire some actual designers, engineers, and just get these things
Which
to
they do.
run. But like better ones, I don't know.
It's never that easy, but
Like,
it's just
don't
like
hire the guy
you.
who worked on Windows XP 20 years ago. He's like, oh, well, we could just toss in
Start button.
20 gig HDD and all that. That's fine. It's like, no, that's just. Let's just get some good, speedy infotainment going here. I don't know. I just feel like it's falling behind, even though it's been out for 15 years. Screens have been around for a long time, and they've always been slow.
I feel like it
E even
depends on
we
what.
had, at my work, we had a rental F350. Didn't like it. Garbage truck. Oh my God. And it was just. Navigating the gauge, how it's got like Ford has like a lot of stuff on their gauge. It took like 2 minutes to like just go to like your fuel economy because it was just like jittery. It was like
Oh, I
flew
see.
around.
Do you remember in one of the first episodes where I mentioned where car companies usually focus their stuff?
Yep.
Obviously, Ford is not going to be focusing on the screens that
I
much,
don't
which,
know what
in
they
my
focused
opinion, they
on in that
should.
truck,
They
honestly.
should.
If they have a specific place they focused, I couldn't find it. Maybe the engine. The engine was pretty snappy,
There you go.
but apart from
For
that,
Hyundai and Kia, their infotainment systems are pretty smooth.
yeah. I mean,
So it's like
for what
you
they
can
are, yeah.
obviously see, and then in Volkswagen, right now it's the same thing. Like my infotainment system, it's kind of a hot take for the Golf right now, but I like it. It's snappy, it works. My Android Auto has connected every single time.
When I saw it, I enjoyed it. And that's actually what bugs me about my truck, even. Again, slow truck. Is that Android Auto was so slow. It's not slow, slow, like god awful. Like, I can't use it. But, like, when, like, you have map on and the map is turning when you turn the car and all that? Mine is, like, just low
Is that on Google
FPS.
Maps?
Yeah.
Mine does that too.
Does it? Oh,
I feel like that's a Google Maps
maybe it's
thing.
just a phone thing. Okay, I was going to say Android Auto thing, but.
And it also doesn't help that we have the same phone. So
Yeah, so we
it's
have
like
nothing to compare to, but
maybe it's a Samsung
I don't
Galaxy.
know. Do you get overheating messages on your screen
I do.
lately?
Yeah. It's been happening more.
I wonder if they have a bug.
This is a phone thing. Because I pick up the phone and it's fine.
Yeah.
But it doesn't actually notify me when the phone's actually hot.
The last couple of weeks I've been having that where a popped up phone is overheating and I'm like...
Did you get an update lately on your phone?
I've never had that before. I
have had an update lately on my phone. I think that's might be... So this is a phone thing, I guess.
I'm have to see if Android Auto knows it. I might go onto Reddit, type in Android Auto overheating.
I'm chalking it up to it. Do you put it in the wireless charger?
I don't have one. I just plug it in. And I thought maybe that was the issue, is that plugging it in...
That's what I do. My wireless charger, I pick this thing up, is hot. But I don't care, because I have a wireless charger and I'm using it.
It was sunny out today, but I plugged mine in and like... Within 10 minutes, the top screen was like untouchable. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah, I think this is a problem with our phones. Yeah, but that's whatever. I think that's a good place to end.
Yeah, didn't feel like much of an episode, but we have many more to come. So
that's, yeah, and more projects. Again, if you want to join our crew.
Join our crew. Send an email at carcafepodcast@gmail.com.
Throw it up here again.
Throw it up here just in case I'm dead wrong. But yeah. Hey, Instagram, do you have the Instagram handle?
I do have the Instagram handle. Put that up there too.
in case you're listening.
Pull it up.
Hang on. Make sure you watch.
yeah, our Instagram handle is... let me get it 1 second.
You'll find it.
The Car Cafe Podcast with all underscores instead of spaces. Instagram doesn't do spaces, so it's like...
Oh, no? Oh, okay.
Not on the handles. You
yeah,
can't
that's
do that.
Fair. Yeah. The_car_cafe_podcast. Jesus.
Yeah.
Sorry, guys. Jeez. Well, catch us on all the socials. We don't have Facebook yet or Twitter, but maybe we'll get on there one day. Maybe. We'll see.
Email us
your thoughts. Start a conversation with us.
Yeah, we could maybe do a Q&A and actually do research before we start talking.
Yeah, like give us something to talk about for goodness sakes, because we need it.
Anyways, thank you so much. Mm-hmm. We'll see you in the next one. Bye.